From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Midnight Movie.
You have to start again. I'll cut over the top of you.
God damn it!
Sorry.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I am Hunter Ducing down in the wild, urban cosmopolitan area of Dallas, Texas. It's not wild at all. It's, you know. And with me is John Grace in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado. Say hello, John.
Hello.
And we are also joined by the Aboriginal Smadge Original. I don't know what rhymes with that. Stuart Bulk.
Hi.
And this week, we've been talking about doing a Yakuza show for a while. However, the problem with doing a Yakuza show is there ain't a lot of good Yakuza stuff available in the West because Toei are a bunch of fucking losers. So, you know, when you go to look at the Yakuza movies at your store, you're going to see a lot of Nikatsu stuff for chicks. You're going to see a lot of RD Criterion stuff. You're not going to, you'll see a little bit of the Kenji Fukasaku stuff, but we decided to go with a movie called The Yakuza because it stars the Clint Eastwood of the genre, Ken Takakura. So we're doing that this week. That's what we're doing.
And it was produced by Warner Brothers, thus it's easier to see.
Yes, and it was written by Porky Pig, Paul Schrader.
Yes.
And his brother,
Leonard.
Leonard Schrader, does Porky Pig have a brother?
I don't know.
I know Porky did in the film Porky's. He had the sheriff, whatever his name was. The WOG guy, I can't remember his name. The ex-footballer, what's his name? Yeah. Webster. Webster, what's his fucking name? Alex Karras, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
That was Porky's brother in the Porky's, yeah. So, yes, Porky does have a brother, just not Porky Pig. Schrader does.
Yeah, I believe. You know,
Keep going. Everyone just switched off at this fucking point.
Oh, no. But Paul Schrader just. He wrote. The Yakuza. It's written by Paul Schrader, Leonard Schrader, and Robert Towne, who did Chinatown. And Paul Schrader, you know, he's done a few Japanese themed movies like. The Yakuza and Mishima Life in Four Chapters. But it's directed by Sidney Pollack, who's a director I hate. He's an actor I like and a director I hate. But I think this is maybe my favorite thing I've seen by him.
You didn't like Tootsie?
Fuck no.
I enjoyed Tootsie. That was quite good.
Well, I just remember my mom watching Tootsie when I was a kid and my dad going, I fucking hate this movie. He didn't say fucking, but my dad was like, I hate this movie.
Granted, I haven't seen it since I saw it in the theater in 82, whatever it was. But, I mean, I remember enjoying it then as a kid.
Dustin Hoffman dressing as a chick.
Which is sad. He actually looks better as a chick.
It would be considered transphobic by today's standards, right?
Yeah, actually it would.
Yeah.
That would be like
be rejected.
Just like Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're making fun of people who identify as gender queer.
And right? Divine is Edna Turnblade in Hairspray as well.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so offensive. So offended.
even though my favorite of the whole lot of Williams Hoffman and Divine is Divine by a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why?
Divine is fucking awesome. I don't care what the naysayers say. Divine is awesome.
Divine's, you know, all you have to do is listen to her speech in Pink Flamingos and you have life in a nutshell. Like, she is the greatest, is the greatest philosopher of all time. You know,
That's such a fucking rad movie, isn't it? So fucking rad. I love it. And yes, there will be an MMC episode of it one day.
Oh, my God. I just the thing about Pink Flamingos, like I had heard about it forever, and I always went, oh yeah, I'm sure it's fucking gross, whatever. And when I saw it, I just was sick to my stomach and like hiding behind the couch because I thought it was so fucking gross.
I went with my brother. I'd seen it a couple of times before on video, uncut, and went to the Astor Theater with my brother on a midnight screening of it. We fucking had a blast. We enjoyed ourselves so much. Seeing it on the big screen, yeah.
Yes. And, like, I find you guilty of assholism.
I mean, that's the quote of the 70s.
And, like, but, like, her, like, manifesto for what you should act like yeah. Eat shit. Like, you celebrate murder.
Filth is my politics.
It's like, so it's just such so punk rock.
It is, yeah. Okay.
John loves it too, right?
What?
John's never seen it.
I've never seen it.
John's like just totally checked out.
Nah. John Waters, whatever.
Yeah, I know. John hates this shit.
John's like, grab me a can of that Mexican Coke and some bourbon.
Waters just overrated.
Okay, how many of his films have you seen? Or are you just going by?
I've seen all his major studio stuff. I've seen clips of some of his indie films.
But they're like, so different. The major stuff's so different from his indie stuff. That's why.
It might be, but it's just like everybody talks about, oh, man, it was really offensive and challenging to society. It's like your average episode of South Park is more challenging. I was talking with Garrow earlier this week. We were talking about how horror films are just so boring now because the truth is you can do all that stuff on TV. You can do more gore and violence on television than you can do
Ash versus Evil Dead is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. But would Pink Flamingos be like paving the way for South Park, you know, in 1972? Do you think?
Oh, I bet you they'd seen it.
Because I love the scene where I found the quote. Kill everyone now. Condone first-degree murder. Advocate cannibalism. Eat shit. Filth is my politics. Filth is life. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
To me, it just sounds like a 12-year-old trying to write punk rock.
Oh, it's punctuated by fucking disgusting shit. Like,
yeah, I just, you know.
Like, and like, as we said before.
There's a butthole singing surfing bird.
Yeah.
By the trash bin, it's like, oh, everybody made bad bid.
Yeah, but I get crap like that on Gavin McInnes' show.
No, you don't.
Gavin's show, like, there are days on Gavin's show where I'm like, all right, you know.
There's times I just turn it off. It's
audio,
like, all right,
audio he's, only. He's, he's, audio only.
It's like, I'm done. It's like, I'm checking out. Pause. Maybe I'll watch this later.
God damn it. When he, when I was, I felt sick when he had Ava Devine on, and he was just like, he used the green screen to make it look like he was having sex with her. And I was like, okay, I don't need to see Gavin's penis again.
God almighty.
I saw How to Be a Man, and it was in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
He's worse than Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen Gavin McInnes's penis as much as I've seen Harvey Keitel's penis, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I know.
So I didn't get in my way to look at other men's penises. Sorry, it's not.
No,
my,
but
not
you know,
bag.
if you watch movies and you've seen Harvey Keitel's penis,
oh
more
yeah,
than,
but I've seen Bad Lieutenant before.
That's normal. It's normal. Keitel has his dick out in more movies than most actors do.
Well, Ewan McGregor was trying to beat his record in the 90s because I went to see that movie he did with Vivian Wu where they were like doing the body painting shit.
Oh,
hey, it was Velvet Goldmine, and then it was.
Oh, yeah, Velvet Goldmine. Is that the one where him and Christian Bale have sex?
Yeah, they're playing David Bowie and Iggy Pop, and it's just like
had a lot of anger at Bowie for saying that claiming he was homosexual was a massive mistake.
Yeah, that's almost what it was. Funny you didn't see that mentioned the last couple of weeks.
No, you didn't. You didn't see that, like, because what was it? You know, like a lot of people were like, Bowie probably touched a cock, you know, but But
didn't Bowie fuck a chick and say, congratulations, you got AIDS?
I heard that years,
fucking years ago.
But I think that chick was Freddie Mercury. But But no, I heard that David Bowie, you know, he would say he was bisexual, he would say he was gay and blah blah blah. But I heard in the '80s or some or the '90s he said that claiming he was a homosexual was the biggest mistake he'd ever made in his life. And I think you see a little bit of anger in Velvet Goldmine directed at Bowie post, because that movie really romanticizes the Ziggy Stardust era, but it has a kind of a hatred for Bowie post Ziggy.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's because Todd Haynes is gay as well, isn't he?
So, oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. That's totally what it is.
Good filmmaker, but boy, that Dylan film was fucking boring.
Yeah, the Dylan film was like, that was like a college essay.
That's because a lot of these guys don't get Dylan at all.
Thank God. And they, I don't.
Like, and Dylan's one of these guys who loves that shit because he loves to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Like, even I heard Jacob Dylan on Corolla, and he goes, yes, he's like, coming from a man, he was talking about his dad, he goes, coming from a man who loves to mess with the press.
He does.
It's directive. Like, his own son said that his dad loves toying with them.
Do not like Bob Dylan. I fucking do not like Bob Dylan at all.
Bob Dylan is him and Lou Reed are like the greatest trolls in the history of music.
Man, one of them's gone, thank God, is waiting on the other one now.
Yeah, you're just blowing in the wind, Stuart.
I'm the masters of war.
Yeah.
Go build your big guns. That's what stopped me watching the Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid film. I just don't want nothing to do with Bob Dylan.
When he shows up and just goes,
I want to be.
Did he do the soundtrack as well?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't want.
I love that soundtrack. Gotta admit.
No, fuck that.
I have never watched my DVD of that movie. I bought it years ago during a big deep discount sale.
When it came out on DVD, I bought it, and I really like that film.
I only saw it on VHS like in 1988. That's the only time I've watched it.
Speaking of that, I rewatched Battlefield Earth, and sorry I did that.
Oh, yeah. Stuart, by the way, audience, Stuart willingly sat down and watched Battlefield Earth. Keyword in his post on Facebook was, again.
Yeah.
Stuart.
It's like about the third time I've seen it, though, to be honest with you.
He has chosen to sit through it not once, but two more times.
Mm.
Is it just like a morbid fascination with Scientology, Stuart?
No, 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 no. I just finished reading Leah Remini's book. I was like, fucking no way.
Yeah, I figured because you've been, you know, watching Going Clear and reading the Leah Remini book.
Which I cannot recommend enough, that book. It's outstanding. What a gutsy woman.
You like on a love line too, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the link you sent me with her with Corolla. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got her audio book as well, which read by her, and she ain't a fan of Tom Cruise, let's say that. She really does not like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah, says that he has a thing for playing hide-and-seek with his guests, which is, I find, a bit fucking odd, but whatever.
Playing hide-and-seek with his sexuality, what?
No, hide-and-seek, the game of hide-and-seek in his house with his guests, and she's like, I'm not playing fucking hide and seek with him.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, really.
I thought this was some metaphor for homosexuality.
No, literally playing the game of hide and seek in his fucking mansion, and she's like, with her husband, going, I'm not playing fucking hide and seek.
All right, everybody, let's play hide and seek.
that's just like how two ex Playboy Playmates say that Hugh Hefner basically runs gay porn to get erections.
Really?
Fuck that harem of blonde women he has. Yeah.
Shit.
I've heard about that. Yeah. Like, people who watch way too much porn, like, they need, like, chicks with dicks. They need, like, extreme shit because they're just – their brains are too flooded with dopamine to, like, get a boner, you know? Yeah.
No. Two tits and two holes is all I need on a fucking woman.
I know, right? But, like, somebody like Hefner, you know, it's almost like – your brain is just too addled with like all those chemicals, and your light brain's like, I need fucked up shit.
The thing is, the chicks in his mansion, I can't tell one apart from the other. Seriously,
no, I can't. They're all Dr. Goldfoot.
produce these fucking things.
They're, generic. They look like they're made in a factory.
You show me one brunette or one raven-haired woman he's had, I can't even think of one.
I mean, but when you said that, John, it reminded me of Robert Evans. Like, he wants chicks to piss on him and stuff, according to...
Oh, yeah, because he wants to be Bob Guccione.
Yeah. Hey, Dark, I mean, get that,
get the sleazy thing going on.
Hey, sweetheart.
Well, I just read the Rialto Reports thing. They did an article. They do these terrific articles on their website about, like, the making of these old obscure porno films, which I don't care anything about them, but the stories are fascinating. Like, this one was made by an ex-police officer, and they find him. He's, like, in his 70s and retired, I guess, in Florida, and he said he doesn't look at porn now. He said it's too niche. It's too weird.
Yeah. That is an outstanding fucking song.
Well, I'm a fan of Gavin McInnes's No Wanks movement. I am. I think he's onto something with that.
I think he is. Just nobody wants to admit it.
Coming from a guy who is a complete fucking wank, yeah.
No. If you're not familiar with No Wanks, Gavin's like, you know, this shit's fucking up men. It's like, porn is ruining men. It's robbing them of the eye of the tiger. So no wanks. He's like, you're only allowed to beat off if you're like near a if you're within reach of a woman with her permission or over Skype with her permission or something. Like, he was in his ex pimp friend Dante Nero is like an even bigger fan of it than he is. Like, he's just like, he's like, it gives you the eye of the wolf, the eye of the tiger. And, you know, there's something. So I think pornography does, like, rob you of your – it robs you of your focus, of your drive. I think it does sort of make you soft. It does sort of give your brain into a false sense.
No. I worked in a sex shop for 2 years. Trust me, it doesn't rob you enough. And it depends how it affects you. If you let it choose to affect you.
So. I don't sit there and go, well, am I going to let it affect me? But I don't know. There's something about it that makes you kind of – I think it kind of – like, I talked to guys. I said, do you think porn kind of robs you of your drive, like, to go out? Like, because you see this with a lot of younger guys. They're not interested in relationships.
Yeah, it robs you of reality is what it does, of the
– Totally. And I think it's because it floods your brain and makes you think that you're an alpha who's effing tens all the time. I think that you look at the younger and younger. I think you're seeing a lot of guys just – avoiding relationships, period, because they've got their porn and they're just like, having a relationship's too much trouble. You know, you got to deal with the chick, you know, and I get it. Like, I'll go on a date with a girl, right? And I won't be feeling it. And so that's it. Right?
Feeling what?
Well, no. I'm just like, there's no chemistry. Like, I just didn't feel it physically, but just not feeling it metaphorically.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, you know, we're not, I'm not really hitting it off, you know? And so that's it. But I'll get like an angry text message from them. Like, why don't you call me anymore? Like, you know, fucking, and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You can have that whore, Jackie, as much as you want. We're done.
At least Jackie doesn't send me angry text messages.
No, she doesn't.
although when girls come over to my place, Jackie is mean and jealous.
I'll bet. I'll truly bet that is the case.
I have to toss her in her kennel, and I only let her out if she stops barking. And if she starts barking, she goes back in the kennel.
I'm like, Jackie.
She's so jealous and rude.
Really?
To girls. That's
crazy.
To girls. If there's a guy with the girl, she's okay.
Right.
But if just a girl comes over, Jackie is rude and just barks and like is aggressive, and I toss her in her kennel. Until she's quiet.
Unless you're not feeling it, then you just leave her out of the kennel. The chick goes home.
Well, usually the girls that come over are just friends, you know. Like, right. I go out with a girl and I'm like, you know, wasn't anything good. And didn't enjoy myself. And
how's
then I get
the scene? How's the scene in Dallas for a single guy such as yourself?
Sucks.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Really? I figured it'd be like Hunting Ground City.
Pretty much. That's what I thought.
You know what? It probably is, and I'm just doing it wrong because I have no game, right?
Right.
But you know, but I still get dates and stuff, but, you know,
I'll tell you what I'll do. Okay, I just hit upon a grand scheme, what I can do for you, all right? Next time you get a date, all right? Or next time you want to ask a girl out, I'll tell you what, I'll record a bunch of stuff for you. You learn it off by heart and just mouth my words to a tape recorder playing with my accent, and you'll be right.
Okay.
All right?
I'll do it. No. Yeah.
I'll do
with
it.
With the accent, it should make it easier.
Well, you'll get black girls anyway because they dig it.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or go listen to The Day the Laughter Died by Andrew Dice Clay and just cite some jokes from that. Yeah. Get a chick in no time. They love that. They love
it. They love it.
They love the rudeness.
Oh.
Let's go see the tree.
No, I've been going on dates, but like it's not even like, you know, I haven't had anywhere I'm like, oh, you know, I want to go on a second and third, you know.
What was – can I ask you something personal?
And the girls that are younger are such – they can't – like, you know, you go date with somebody, you don't like it, and you don't – if you don't text back and forth, it's just accepted that it's not okay, fine. But,
okay.
But I go out with these girls, and they act like we're – a fucking item or something, and they send me these angry text messages like, why haven't you, you know, called me and told me what's, and I'm like, because did you think that went well? I didn't think it did.
You damn heartbreaker you are. You're a Led Zeppelin song. You're a walking Led Zeppelin song.
You're just like, you drop them off after the date, and you're like Robert Plant. You're like, woman!
I'm mad! Just like, I didn't think we hit it off, so I don't bother contacting them, and then they act like I'm, you know.
You should date older chicks.
Exactly.
You need a Burt Reynolds, Dinah Shore relationship.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Date older women, I'm telling you.
What was the oldest you've dated? Where you been in Dallas? What's the age of the girl you've been the oldest you've dated in while in Dallas?
In Dallas.
Because you've been there, what, about 3 years now?
Three or four
years you've been back there? Yeah.
Probably 28.
Yeah, for 20. You, that's not bad. Yeah, for your age, it's not bad. But yeah, like John said, you got to go for one who's about 36.
Yeah.
You will see a marked difference in attitude and everything.
Oh, yeah. No, like, whenever I've gone out with older girls, I don't get that bullshit from them. Usually.
You don't, you know?
But, no, just for some reason, when lately I've been, for whatever reason, 20-something girls, and they're, like, pissed. But anyway, we don't need to keep beating this horse.
No.
We're talking about Yakuza movies, not my love life.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just we're going to outdistance Eddie Trunk for how much bullshit we can spin at the start of a show before we get into the actual topic of a show. Right, he goes usually about 20 minutes. We've done at least something like that.
We haven't talked about the Guns N' Roses reunion yet, so let's spend 20 minutes on
that. Okay, really Axel's that fat. Slash is there. He's fat. Duff looks like he's dead. There's no Easy Stradlin or Steven Adler. That's it for me. I'm not bothering.
I was listening to the they were at like some Lemmy tribute thing on Josta's podcast, and there was the keyboardist from Guns N' Roses on there, and he was like, "So you got any GNR news?" And he was like, "I don't want to talk about it." Like,
well, they're on a gag order.
Like,
I promise you.
My phone. I don't want to talk about it.
For me, honestly, for me, no Izzy Stradlin. There's no Guns for me. It was my favorite.
A fuck at this point. No. Like,
nobody cares.
No.
Like, Duff, Slash, and Axel, who fucking cares?
They missed that boat 10 years ago.
Jesus Christ, I don't give a fuck about a Guns N' Roses reunion. I really don't.
The only time they really had a chance was when, right in the middle of, say, the Chinese democracy bullshit. Axel should have said, fuck Chinese democracy, on hold, everything, buck ahead, go away, not interested. Get all back. I guarantee you would have got him. You may have even got Izzy Stradlin back then. Now, I don't think you're going to give a shit. And, he's made the money from the GNR songs, from the catalog. He's made
He wrote most of them.
Yeah, he's basically just made his money off of Appetite, and that's it. He's set.
He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. The person who wants to play with them the most is Steven Adler, and they're not going to let him.
Yeah, that's some bullshit right there. That's some bullshit. They should let Adler play, you know. All right, he's had his drug problems. Oh, they all have, but Adler was pretty bad. You know, pretty with his bad, heroin.
He's good now, though. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so the movie we're talking about this week is The Yakuza, because – and it stars Hollywood legend Robert Mitchum and Japanese film legend Ken Takakura. And, you know, Ken Takakura is the as John told me, the Clint Eastwood of the Yakuza genre. And but the only movie with him that's readily available is The Yakuza, which is a Hollywood film. And I think it has something to do with Toei. John, why don't you talk a little bit about Ken Takakura and, you know, his importance to the genre?
Well, Ken Takakura started in these films, I believe, in the early 60s. And was pretty much like the genre star. It's pretty much him and another actor named Bunta Sugawara. And Ken Takakura is regarded as probably the better known of the two, and pretty much the internationally famous. I mean, he was also in stuff like – he did do some American films after this, like Mr. Baseball and Black
Lane. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and but
Black Lane, which is a piece of shit.
Not. But if you look at his filmography, like it's like 5-6 movies a year for Toei, and he was like Mr. Tough Guy of Japanese cinema, Mr. Yakuza film.
And Bunta Sugawara is known for the Battles Without Honor and Humanity films,
right? Now he had a unique thing where. The only time a American distribution company tried to distribute these films to exploitation like grindhouses and drive-ins was a New Line Cinema released a Bunta Sugawara movie dubbed in English called Tattooed Hitman.
Which sounds rad.
It sounds rad. It's not easy. I've only seen the Wizard home video.
Isn't that Crying Freeman, Tattooed Hitman?
It looks like it, but like, no. It's
like Crying Freeman. He's a tattooed hitman, right?
Yeah. He is, but it's not related. That's a manga. Came out in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, well, they're both Japanese, but yeah, Crying Freeman's a comic book character.
Right. And the Tattooed Hitman was released with like a Richard Corbin poster. If you know your old comic book art, he's a big name, and he did this cool poster. And it came out on Wizard Video, but it's super cropped because it's a scoped movie. So it was just a mess to watch on video. I think it came out on Laserdisc, and that's the last I heard. I never got to see the Laserdisc version. But yeah, Ken Takakura was sort of like the, I guess Tattooed Hitman didn't make any money because all the Sonny Chiba films were making a lot of money. So they were thinking, oh, we'll try some of the regular Yakuza films, and I think it flopped. Coincidentally, The Yakuza, the movie we're talking about here, released by Warner Brothers, also flopped. So it's not the big classic that everybody thinks it is.
You can't blame Fred Weintraub for its flop either.
No, you can't.
But does anybody think it's a classic? Because I always thought it was kind of like this just sort of 70s oddity.
It has a strong cult following. I would when I was getting into the whole martial arts movie fandom thing in the 80s, this movie had a following from people who saw it in the theater in 1974 or whatever. And it's like it had a following from that. Because some people did not like the Kung Fu film, so they were thinking, well, the Yakuza cinema is superior, and this American film does a better job of bringing the Yakuza style over to America, which I would disagree with, which we'll get into later. But it did have a following. I collected back issues of Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, the Marvel Comics black and white magazine that also had film articles, and to find articles on martial arts movies in the 70s, is a pretty unique thing, and they talked this movie up really big before it was released, and then when it was released, all the writers at Marvel were big fans of it, but it did not do well in theaters.
Did they have Count Dante ads in there at all?
Yeah, they had the Count Dante ads. They had some other ads that were just as funny, where it was like, learn karate with a record, and it's like an LP, and some anonymous guy with like long hair, and like a mustache is like in a gi, and he's like in a stance, and it's like I don't know how the hell that would work out, but they did have some good write-ups in there. And
how much you go look for the half price books?
Yes.
it's definitely worth a look if you can find them.
Incidentally, half price books, it's like you go there this week and it's like David Bowie UCDs, $30.
Of course it is. Mm. It's a
I wonder why those prices jumped.
Oh, fucking Whitney Houston, the day after she died, JB Hi-Fi, everything back at the high full price. Good. Not that I give a fuck, but I mean, yeah.
Hey, here, have your mall music at full mall price. There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, the it had a following with people who liked. I mean, there was, if you lived in New York or L.A., you could go see Japanese movies at a Japanese cinema. There was a little Japantown in those cities that would have a theater that would show the Toei.
Come on, John. You never called it Japantown. What did you call it?
Little Tokyo, if you lived in Los Angeles.
But you never called it Japtown?
Or no. Land of the PowerPoints.
That was only me. Okay.
Hey, let me ask you, was this the Yakuza, one of the films that would have played at 42nd Street?
No, this was a respectable big
studio.
This
was a Hollywood slick.
Yeah, okay. This was Sidney Pollack. It was a big deal, and Warner Brothers spent a lot of money on it. And
Sidney Pollack was a hot director at the time.
And Paul Schrader and his brother sold the script to Warner Brothers for like $300,000, which was that was the most any studio had paid for a script
at
the time.
And Paul Schrader was like, I guess he was really into Japanese movies at the time because he wrote this long essay on the Yakuza Iga.
The Yakuza Iga film. In Film Comment, and that's a famous article that everybody wanted Xeroxes of for the longest time.
And it's in the Arrow Films.
Of course, it is Mr. Arrow's shelf.
They reprinted
it. You can also download it. I think Paul Schrader had it at his website at one point.
And you know what's funny? It's in the Battles Without Honor and Humanity box set, but Kenji Fukasaku and his movies are just totally passed over in that article. Yeah. So it's like, why is it even?
They weren't a big deal. He wasn't a big deal at the time.
I think that article's there just to like give you some guideposts as to further viewing or something. Because he doesn't view those movies as important. You know, he's more of a fan of the Takakura stuff. You know,
because the Battles Without Honor and Humanity is actually kind of trashy.
Well, the Yakuza are all sleazebag, fucking like, gross. Like those movies are nasty. Like, you know, they're disgusting. And you know, whereas the Ken Takakura stuff, like the Yakuza all have honor, and there's
right. It's like comparing the Searchers to like some what are those
Wild Bunch?
yeah, like one of the real sleazy Western anti-Westerns of the 70s. It's a totally different. Yeah. Type of filmmaking, and that's why Fukasaku wasn't a big deal at that time.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that stuff became like when Battle Royale became a thing. That was when,
because I watched Battles Without Honor and Humanity at the Alamo Drafthouse a few months back, and I was kind of seeing it on the big screen. I was like, wow, they really. A lot of anachronisms with the hairstyle and clothes. They don't even try to capture the period accurately.
And what
the humor is real weird and,
like,
you know,
and I love the Battles Without Honor and Humanity movies. I think they're really fun to watch. Like, they're just explosive and crazy and just fucking bonkers. But the problem with those movies is if you've ever shot a gun in your life, you can tell everybody in that movie has never shot a gun before because the way they shoot guns, they shoot the guns like they're worried they're going to explode if they pull the trigger. Like they go, pew! Like they fly back like pew, pew, pew. And you're sitting there going like, what are you doing?
Because they're not even guns. They're these electrical devices.
They're these
devices.
Plastic things. Yeah,
that create an orange flash.
Yes.
They don't even add that optically
Don't guns have a kick to them when you pull the trigger? I mean, I've never pulled.
Way their hands move, they're not the way guns move.
Oh, I see.
They're the way like kids playing with guns.
Cowboys and Indians.
Or Australians who don't have them.
Like, I mean, like if you've ever shot a gun before, yes, they have kick to them. But the way in these Battles Without Honor and Humanity movies, like it's like they've just seen movies and are trying to make a visceral, crazy version of that.
They're doing, and also Japanese actors work on a much more, they're more broader theatrically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're big on hand gestures and facial expressions. So if they fire a gun, they're going to totally overdo it. It's just the way they, and Pollack on the commentary talks about casting for this film. He was trying to find Japanese actors that wouldn't overdo it on camera. And Ken Takakura was like the lead he went with because Takakura knew how to act Western style, which is being very calm and quiet and not
even though
you know
understand
over
him.
You're right,
I
but
can't
not over
the fucking word.
not overdoing his facial expressions. Or
well, I turned on the subtitles, so I don't know.
You have to.
Yeah, I turned on the subtitles for this movie.
But yeah, it's because they don't have real guns, and so they don't have like a gun technician or gun handler showing them how to do stuff or do it right. You know, they just didn't have it. And Pollock claims they didn't even have a fight choreographer. Like, he choreographed all the action.
I think Pollock, Pollock was asleep when he directed this. Seriously. The action in this is so goddamn anemic, it's not funny.
I kind of enjoyed it, some of the action in it. I don't know. It just, like, because Sidney Pollack to me, like, I remember this guy I worked with, he described Pollack films as, like, kind of cheap and crummy. But, you know, this actually kind of felt like a 70s Yakuza movie. And I don't know if it was the muzzle flashes or what, but it
Well, that's because they shot it in Japan. They even shot the interiors in Japan.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they'd actually shoot them in L.A. They would do all the interiors in L.A. and everything else in Japan. But another thing was with Pollock, he said that the original Schrader script was more of an exploitation. It was more like a genre movie. He said it was like a kung fu movie. It was basically probably a more faithful translation of an American Yakuza, you know, to be in the American Yakuza movie. And in other words, it was a lot more like what Ken Fakakura was making over in Japan.
So did Robert Towne rewrite it or something?
Robert Towne came in and made it the kind of what they want, you know.
The classier
adult, non-genre, put it above genre filmmaking type of mainstream studio picture. And I think that's why it flopped.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, I mean, it's a drab film. It moves slow. As much as I like the actors in it, it's got a super overcomplicated plot, which is just crazy. It's the sign of three, maybe even a fourth screenwriter.
No, when you read reviews from the time, they comment on how the movie's hard to follow, and
it really is.
It is.
A lot of that I blame on Pollock and this need to create. To make more out of it than it is. It's like, I think one reason everybody went crazy for the Raid movies is because they're so simplistic.
Yeah, it's Die Hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's all you need.
Well, the Raid's got better action than Die Hard.
Well, but you know what
I like Die Hard as well. No.
It's our hero is trapped in a building.
It's a situation film. And here they're trying to make it a situation film, a double-crossing film, a noir romance, a character study, and a clash of foreign and Western culture, and it's just too—it's too much stuff going on at once.
Okay,
and
Before we go on the ratings, we're obviously going to discuss this a lot further. What'd you guys think? Did you like it or not?
I enjoyed it, but like I was kind of bored during parts of it. Right. So I don't know. Like I was kind of middling. On
right,
it, really.
John.
I give it like a 5 because it's like parts of it put me to sleep. I ain't gonna lie.
I was definitely bored during parts of it.
I fucking hated it. I fucking hated this movie. It was so bad.
But I enjoyed some of the action parts. Like I did think there were some like intense moments that I liked. But
I put it this way: I would think higher of the action if I hadn't seen a few of the Japanese Yakuza films via gray market DVDs. I hate to admit it, but this is why we resort to them because ain't nobody releasing them this stuff over here.
And I haven't seen any of those, but it's nowhere close to as good as any of the like Battles Without Honor movies, which, you know, though that's the closest I've seen to like.
Well, I preferred Shodan in Little Tokyo over this film as a Yakuza film.
Oh, I fucking wouldn't.
I do.
I despise that movie. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'd rather watch the Yakuza.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, that's okay.
At least it's a fail. It's a failure, but at least it's a real movie. But yeah,
like that romance with Mitchum and that Japanese girl. It's there, and then it just disappears for the rest of the movie.
Like, yeah,
it becomes meaningless. And there is the whole secret with her and Takakura's character, and it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It's too many layers, and it's obvious. It was Robert Towne trying to get his name on the script. To make sure he got residuals, and it's you know, and if they already paid $300,000,
it's what it is.
Right,
it's Michael
Myers
is my brother. It's another, you know, what do they call it? MacGuffin. That's all it is.
Right, it is. And then the whole thing with like if the Schrader's script, if Warner Brothers paid $300,000 for it, why do you need to add another writer? Why does it need rewriting?
Yeah.
You know, if you already like that script, you know, it was probably a solid action-packed script that was going to make money in the mainstream theaters and probably would have made money in the grindhouses, and then they brought in Robert Towne to make it classier. And Sidney Pollack directed it instead of Martin Scorsese, who was up for it originally.
And you know, if Scorsese did it, you know it would have been fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Right. It would have been nuts.
Hey, but, it would have been a chance to see Harvey Keitel's dick again, maybe, if we were lucky, you know?
Oh, if only.
You'd have seen Robert Mitchum's. You'd have seen Robert Mitchum's dick when he was fighting the Yakuza.
Yeah, he just would have had it out.
In fact, he probably would. His cock eye is more awake than he's realized.
He puts out a few Yakuza eyes with it.
Let me beat you with my Kanto knife here. You know,
I think Robert Mitchum would have been smoking weed on set.
Oh,
on
he looks
camera.
Fucked. He looks completely fucked over.
He looks like the result of hard living. He always has.
No, he Robert Mitchum was a pothead before pothead. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Robert Mitchum loved the weed.
Oh, wow.
That weed. Weed. It's what's in the afternoon. Is that weed?
Who needs high tea? I've got weed.
I got that weed. I don't know.
Yeah, he was Robert Mitchum's notorious for his love of marijuana before marijuana was cool.
But he looks like messed up in Cape Fear, though. He looked a lot more alert. And the original, I'm saying, yeah. Not the remake. The original.
Right. The lifestyle hadn't really hit him yet. You know, there's always that age. He's only like 57, I think, in the Yakuza, and he looks like he's 77.
Yeah, he looks a lot older than 57.
I think people like just age slower now or something.
Diet is better. Exercise is encouraged. People are more active.
High fructose corn syrup's rampant.
People smoke. Yeah. People don't smoke as much these days.
People don't smoke as much. It's just different. People know how to handle stress better. It used to be the old days. You got stressed, you went and drank.
Yeah, because now you look at the guys in Slayer. They're like as old as like Robert Mitchum is in this movie. And they don't
I mean, this
Ted Nugent looks young, you know.
Yeah. He does, yeah.
Is that clean living, man? The backstraps and no alcohol.
Pure venison. Yeah, shit.
Yes, the backstraps, baby.
The backstraps,
I love the
baby,
backstraps.
No jack.
That's why I'm here, and Lenny's dead.
But you know how bad this film is?
How bad?
My favorite part in the whole film, this is how bad it is when you've got a guy walking around in a Japanese garden with a flute and a bucket on his head. Is your favorite scene. That was the only bit that I actually perked up and went, that's pretty cool. Larissa's like, this is just killing me. I must hit that display button about 50 times during a film thinking, come on. When's it going to finish, please? But I did not like this at all.
Yeah, it's kind of another example of the kind of unfocused 70s filmmaking that everybody claims they miss.
Which makes me think why he's picked it. I don't care to see it because it's
a readily available, you know, Yakuza movie with Ken Takahashi.
It ain't here. Can't get it here.
You know, it's on Amazon Instant for like $2, you know.
Which is about 50 Australian bucks at the moment. I ain't paying that.
But
should have planned my vacation. I could have
wanted
Radio Birdman t-shirts.
There you go. Yeah, no.
I wanted to do a Yakuza movie just because I recently watched all the Battles Without Honor and Humanity movies. And
right.
Sort of saw those Toei Yakuza movies and, you know, compared them with some of the Nakatsu movies, which are unfortunately the more easy to get to.
And those are the hippest because everybody loves Branded to Kill.
Yeah, and Branded to Kill, to me, that feels like – that's like – it's like saying I love heist movies like Band Apart. You know, like
it's campy. It's like a campy
– it's a movie that's like kind of sending up the genre.
I'll give you another example. A perfect example of the difference here is Dave Grusin does the score for the Yakuza. He scored the film. Mm-hmm. And if you watch actual Yakuza movies, and it, of course, being Grusin, it's like a kind of slow jazz score. It's pretty sleepy.
Right.
It sounds like adult contemporary jazz or whatever.
It was performed by Robert Mitchum. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you watch a Yakuza film from Toei, it's usually like surf rock meets acid rock type scores.
Like Dick Dale?
Yeah, well, no, like spaghetti Western music, but more urban sounding.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Like, you know, it's like the scores are terrific. Like, there used to be, you could, back in the Rapid Share days, you could find some Yakuza soundtracks, and they sounded phenomenal.
Oh,
there was like
shit.
A mixture of like 60s garage meets surf rock meets Morricone scores, and just great stuff. And you can hear some of it in the Sonny Chiba films. Those are done by the same composers, and the music's always really cool. And here it's like Kenny G scored the Yakuza or something.
No, if only Kenny G got his head lopped off his shoulders, it'd be, the world would be a much better place.
At least slice a finger or two for us. But that's the thing of Hal Pollack. I don't even know if he actually watched Yakuza films before he made it.
And I love, like, you know, in this movie, you have the people cutting their fingers off.
Oh, I thought it was stupid. Sorry. I thought it was stupid.
And in Battles Without Honor and Humanity, like, the guy, he fucking loses the finger and the chickens are eating
it. Yeah. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Right. It's just, but here they act like it's this big shocking thing for America. And maybe it was for Americans in 1970.
Like, oh, he cuts his finger off. And it Battles Without Honor and Humanity, it just totally makes fun of that.
Yeah. It's actually spoofed at a lot of those movies. I think
why has this film got a guy holding a cat the whole fucking movie going, stop it? Stop it. What was the point of this guy with the cat?
Oh, Herb Edelman. He was there basically to explain the plot.
Yeah,
he was like there to
and to explain the relationships between the characters.
It was
right.
No point.
That was all he was good for.
He added nothing to the film.
He was more useful in the Jackie Chan Sammo Hung movie Wheels on Meals because he has a role in that as the private eye who hires Sammo.
Oh yeah, that's right. He is in that.
I remember?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah, he's a kind of forgotten actor, but yeah, it's almost like, look, we're doing something classier than a kung fu film, so let's really prove it to you. But the funny thing is, on the poster, it says 100 years ago they were called samurai. No, they weren't. They never were called samurai. They weren't samurai. That was the point.
Somebody was at my house the other day. They picked my copy of the Yakuza up, and they went, 100 years ago they were called samurai. And I just said, no, they weren't. They were called assholes. They're just called scumbags. That's all.
It's just like that De Niro movie Ronin that Frankenheimer directed, where they do the whole 47 Ronin story, and it had nothing to do with the movie.
Fuck
at
off,
all. Dude. Nothing.
Fuck all.
Have you guys seen Year of the Dragon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that would have been much better one to do for a Yakuza film.
No, that's a triad movie.
But yeah, yeah.
No,
totally.
Same shit. All a bunch of slopes with fucking knives and kids.
No. The Chinese and the Japanese, totally different.
Totally fucking different.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. They all look the same to me.
We're gonna do Heaven's Gate next week. By the way.
No, we ain't. No.
Bring in Paul Talbot. He despises that movie.
We will bring Paul back on though for the his other Charles Bronson book he's released. Definitely.
Oh yeah, I gotta buy that. I'm gonna have to go ahead and get that on Amazon. Got to definitely get it.
Paul, can I have a couple of free copies? Because the dollar's so shit over here. I just
yeah, it's like buying a new car. I think if you
yeah, pretty shit. Much. It's cheaper to buy a goddamn Toyota pickup than it is to buy a fucking
buy a Ford Falcon.
No, they're out of production soon. Over here.
Oh, shit.
And they're shutting down Masters hardware, which is fucked up. I'm bummed out about that. But whatever. Don't worry about that. It doesn't affect you guys over there.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, any other things of this film you actually liked? I was hard-pressed for things I actually really enjoyed. I thought the fight scenes were garbage. Thought Robert Mitchum looked like he was like, can I just get the fuck out of this country? I want to get out of here. He looked like he was not enjoying himself at all.
Well, the funny thing is, I think this movie got him work with Golden Harvest doing the Amsterdam kill, which was pretty much Robert Mitchum versus Triads in Hong Kong.
See, now that I would like to see.
It's actually hard to find. It used to be an easy to find movie, and now it's actually tough to find. But
what's
it was
called?
Like a
the
Columbia
Amsterdam
thing.
Amsterdam kill,
and it was like Robert Klaus directed it, and Robert Mitchum made it in Hong Kong. It was produced by Golden Harvest.
And
basically distributed by Columbia. They had a deal with Golden Harvest at the time.
You lost me at Robert Klaus, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say it was well made. But you'd see, I think you could see guys like Yin Yu and Sammo Hung like in the cast.
Oh, well, Sammo Hung, huh? Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. I haven't seen it in years. It's been forever.
Okay. All right. Well, what else did you guys take away from this film? Because, like I said, I didn't find much in it. I was just like,
I mean, it just sort of seemed like kind of a watered down Hollywood version of the Yakuza film, and you know, it's my only exposure to Ken Takakura.
I'd never heard of this guy, honestly. Ever before this film.
And I think he's a charismatic presence. Like in the scenes where he's fighting and stuff, I thought he was very commanding in the screen, but I would like to see, like, I want to see the films that he's known for in Japan, but unfortunately Toei are horrible about releasing their movies in the West.
Yeah, you bunch of racists.
Well, they'll have no problem selling you the rights for Sonny Chiba stuff, but they won't, or anime, but they don't even bother to, like, offer the Ken Takakura stuff.
When I was a kid, I thought Toei just did anime because their movie stuff, and I remember seeing a bootleg of Battle Royale and seeing the Toei logo and going, what the fuck? I didn't know these people did movies. And I found out that they had just insanely unreasonable demands for Battle Royale. And apparently it's that way with a lot of their movies, and that's just the way a lot of Japanese business people are. They're just retards who have horrible expectations.
Well, racist.
Well, they think all Americans are millionaires.
Yeah, they want a massive Hollywood release for their films, and you're just not – I'm sorry, but – American audiences don't give a shit. You know, you're just going to have – you're like a DVD release is going to be as good as it gets, and – But no, like all my friends who have businesses that they've done with Japan, they said that they're, you know, xenophobic, dumb, and racist.
Speaking of racist,
the Chinese will say the same thing about them.
Yeah, probably, like my friends who've done business with the Japanese, he just said they're very backwards. Like they just have dumb business practices.
Speaking of racist. Jada Pinkett Smith can go and get a yeast infection.
She's boycotting the Oscars the way audiences have boycotted Wicked Wisdom concerts.
Yeah, so. Really. And Will Smith shit movies.
No, the only people who care are like the 30 lesbians that are still fans of her.
Yeah, really. Yeah,
I'm sure even the band she rips off like Soil Work are going to be.
I wish there was some soil work done on her. All 6 feet of it.
Some soil work on her Wicked Wisdom.
Yeah. Is that what Will calls it? Give up some of that Wicked Wisdom now. This is how we got little Jaden, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck her. She's an idiot. So, yeah. Anyway, So
Oscar's so white, hashtag. Oscar so white.
Oh god, the Waskers. We had the Bloskers of 2002, wasn't it? The Bloskers.
I think we need to take a moment to applaud the Oscars for nominating Mad Max Fury Road in 10 categories.
Oh Jesus Christ! Did they really?
Yes.
Yeah, they did.
Oh god. They give that gray-haired, stupid, fucking Greek cunt the Best Director nod? Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, whatever.
Best Picture, Best Director, Best, like, all the technical categories.
Well, I'm going to boycott the Oscars too then.
But no, The Revenant was the only one with more nominations than... which is a shame because Fury Road's better than The Revenant.
Where was the Dangerous People Oscar nods?
Man, you know, snubbed again.
Snubbed again. That's right.
Oscars learn.
That's because, you know, why didn't Garrow say there was he's boycotting the Oscars because there's no Armenians nominated. See?
Are there any Armenians still in the movies?
Yeah, Garrow.
Yeah. Him and Adrian Barbeau.
All the others.
Oh, there you go. Adrian Barbeau.
March to Death.
So there's actually four of them.
There was that Motorhead album, March or Die.
Oh.
That's where the other ones went.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we've pretty much petered out on the Yakuza.
So what ratings, John? You said you give the Yakuza.
Five.
Five. Yeah. John, I mean, Stu, what about you?
Two.
Two. Wow.
Yeah, I really did not like it at all. That was horrible.
I give it a 5 as well. I think it's thoroughly mediocre.
It's so convoluted. It doesn't know where it's going. It's the action was just terrible.
I liked the action a little more than you did, but maybe
okay. For instance, okay. There's that one part where that guy off screen touches the sword, the blade, and he's bleeding like a stuck pig. Oh, I just touched it.
Richard Jordan.
When people are using the sword in this movie, it's like they're using a butter knife. They're trying to cut through a fucking steak with it. It's just stupid.
There's a lot of arm cutting off, though. Although it's not as rad as it is in Battles Without Honor, when you cut someone's arm off and there's a geyser of blood that comes out.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Pollock said he had a struggle with the MPAA with the film or something.
Yeah, I remember. I saw the Roger Ebert review and it described the buckets of blood in the movie. I was like, oh, really? Buckets of blood?
That's because he wanted it to be buckets of ice cream.
Yeah. And in the end, he got his wish. He could just literally tip a bucket of ice cream in his mouth. Yeah,
lost his fucking mouth and jaw.
Yeah. It's like, give me some bucket of ice cream, some black tit, and I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, buckets of blood. I don't really see it. It's really.
I don't see it. If you were talking about Battles Without Honor and Humanity, sure. There's buckets of blood to go around.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the average Ken Takakura movie at the end, when he would just have this huge sword fight with a bunch of guys trying to stab him with knives and everything, it would be blood everywhere. And this finale that they have in this movie is based more on the. Some sort of reality that Sidney Pollack saw in fighting too many people at once. It was more like he was making a comment instead of, what you would see in the Japanese films where Ken Takakura would kill everybody in a 3-mile radius.
Yeah. Which is what we want.
So you're saying he was underutilized in this film?
Yeah.
Right.
No, total.
Okay. Like I said, I don't know.
He was doing his English lines phonetically, which is... You're asking for trouble. It's like when they tried to make a movie star out of Jean Reno or Chow Yun-fat. In America, you just got a problem if they're speaking their English phonetically. It's never going to work.
Yeah.
No. They're not going to connect with the audience.
No, not at all. And it's like, and as great as they are and stuff from their home country, it's like you lose it in America. And I think Alain Delon had the same problem.
Oh, it's like fucking Gong Li in Miami Vice. Holy shit.
You know, I've never seen that, and I imagine it's probably a disaster.
Oh, no, it's awful. Gong Li is fantastic in, the Zhang Yimou movies and stuff, but in Miami Vice, it's like she's just reading from cue cards. I am not cha-cha.
Yeah, it kills their charisma because they're not comfortable speaking.
Everybody I know is it's like this is some great actress from China because she sounds fucking retarded to me. And I was just like, well, she's really good in Raise the Red Lantern.
And that's the thing is they're first of all, they don't even understand the dialogue they're speaking.
No, not at all.
They don't even know how to project themselves, and the acting techniques are really too different. It's just very different.
So like Mark Gregory.
He was probably the best case of because he at least had the dubbing.
Yes. Well, that's the thing.
He was dubbed anyway because he was speaking in Italian.
We're born dead.
I got the Bronx Warriors on Blu-ray recently.
Oh, how is it?
I kind of want to get it. How does it look?
I thought it looked great.
Oh no! Nice.
But I'm not the most discerning video file. So, but I thought it looked awesome. But
you mean you didn't study the scale to see if it was an?
You didn't look for the MPEG compression or the over compression of
the interlacing.
I'm not going to be writing for Blu-ray.com anytime soon. But I got Bronx Warriors and Escape from the Bronx.
How is the color palette? How is the palette?
I thought it looked great. I watched it again, over crisp.
How's the stability of the reds? That's always an issue.
I had such a blast watching it again. That movie is so much fun.
Was it authorized by Dean Cundey?
Oh, I hope so.
Supervise the transfer right there.
Yeah, for the 12th time. You transfer supervised by Dean Cundey for the 12th time.
Well, now we're going to have 4K transfers that are going to be the next
big. Oh, you know they're going to fucking do Halloween on a 4K. It's
oh, yeah, it's supervised by Dean Cundey.
Yeah.
The drum solo was supervised by Neil Peart. I know that.
Oh, boy. You need to go back and revisit our Bronx Warriors show from way the fuck back.
I need to go back and
revisit. That was just before John joined.
Yeah, I was still on. I was still on some other show. Yeah,
were you, or was it just kind of like?
Oh, that might have been during the weird kind of
when it was like, oh, it may still exist.
Yeah, maybe we're gonna do this again. Possibly. Oh well,
it was when the Wu-Tang Invasion became a became a full time gig.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. Indeed. All right. Anything else you guys want to bring up?
Nah.
Wrap it up? Nah.
No, I think that's it. No. MidnightMovieCowboys.com. You know, send us an email at MidnightMovieCowboys@gmail.com if you have any requests.
Mm-hmm.
We need to. I think we do need to re-record our Street Fighter show at some point.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Lee Russell. Because, yes. Yeah. We did record it, and it got immensely fucked up, so we have
we had technical problems, and so I think we need to redo that at some point. So
yeah, so we will do that very, very soon, I'd imagine. All right, well, if that's it, oh yeah, rest in peace Alan Rickman. We lost him as well. Lost Grizzly Adams this week.
We lost Grizzly Adams, we lost David Bowie, we lost Alan Rickman, we lost
Blowfly.
Really?
Just lost Blowfly today. I just got it over the word.
Wow, it's been Grim Reaper's reaping that scythe this fucking year so far, big time.
Yeah. So, death hates rock and roll. So
yeah, and I fear for the safety of Mick Mars. He's not looking well these days.
No, he looks like shit.
He looks horrible, horrible. And Vince Neil. I watched a little bit of the Last Crew concert on YouTube, and oh boy, Vince Neil.
Oh, they have a lot of backing tracks and stuff because you can't do it.
See, I've heard that as well. So I thought, man, Mick Mars is ripping it up, but
apparently Mick Mars is the only one who's been vocally unhappy about it. Like he's been like, we've been playing a lot of backing tape and stuff, and I don't fucking.
They were never the Beatles or
Lindsay, no, so. No. They're Motley.
Speaking of that, I heard an excellent interview on Eddie Trunk with Michael Monroe from Hanoi Rocks.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. He was on there recently.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very good. Talks a little about Razzle's death and Hanoi Rocks, and he's got some new shit out. So,
yeah, I've got his new solo album. I have not listened to it yet.
Okay, that's the one he's talked about with Eddie on the show, but. Yeah, I'm really enjoying the Eddie Trunk podcast. It's because I lifted my ban late last year on celebrity ones. I'm like, not listening to them. But then I slowly came around and started listening to Dee Snider and Eddie Trunks and really enjoying them. Two different shows. But I liked Eddie Trunks, but it takes way too long to get to the subject. Yet we can't talk. We just did half an hour before we did ours. But he does a lot of name dropping as well, which
he loves that.
Bugs me a bit.
Hey. Ace Frehley, close friend of mine.
Yeah. I worked with
Ace for a while.
Yeah. I just had dinner with David Coverdale last week.
I just got a text from David Coverdale.
Oh, yeah, text. Yeah, he's like, oh, I just texted Slash. And I'm like, oh, okay.
He asked me what the set list should be, and I told him.
I just hit up Rick Nielsen.
And I told Axel, you don't need Izzy Stradlin in that group.
No. You don't need the brains behind GNR for that group. No, we'll get someone else.
But if you get that Juju Hounds album, let me tell you something. There's some really good stuff on there. The fans didn't really...
No joke, there really is. That is a good album, that Juju Hounds one.
My favorite album of the year, the Winery Dogs second album.
Oh, boy. The band I helped create somewhat. Well, Toby,
there would never be a second Winery Dogs album.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can tell you. I told you so. I'm not just putting them on here because I put them together, but I am putting them on here because I put them together.
Because I got Billy Sheen in touch with Richie Kotzen, and it's not I had a small hand. Well, fuck it, I had a big hand in it.
Billy Sheen was like, I forgot we played with Richie Kotzen. Billy Sheen didn't even remember Richie Kotzen, but I did.
Oh, really? Yeah, the Wandering Dogs. He's oh my god.
Yeah, he's the Machiavellian controller of all metal.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but in all honesty, I do like Eddie Trunk's show. I mean,
no, I listen to it for the most part, you know.
The one he did with Glenn Hughes, that was excellent. It was really good. I had no idea Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale were like best friends.
Oh, they're like best friends.
He goes, yeah. Oh, I talk to David at least twice a day, every day. I'm like, shit, really?
David and I will be at the induction. We'll be sitting together.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear the episode, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I thought you would.
It's like,
yeah. I got to hit Hunter up and see if he's had the Glenn Hughes interview with Eddie Trunk.
I wouldn't miss an interview with SpongeBob, believe me.
No, I know, right? But I went back and started listening to his back catalog a bit. I heard Play Me Out.
Oh, Play Me Out's so good.
Yeah. I mean, that's right in the middle of his fucking drug haze. But
that is when Glenn Hughes was doing speed, like, around the clock.
I've got to read the book. I've got to get my hands on that damn book of his.
Yeah, he talks about, like, making that record and how much fucking drugs he was doing during it. He was like, you know, people call it the classic Hughes record, but my voice was doing crazy shit because I was on so many drugs.
I got it. And I actually heard the California Breed album from 2014. It's like, wow, this is fucking great.
That album's fucking awesome.
It is so good. So I've been...
That was one of my favorites of last year.
Yeah, I've been... traipsing back through his catalog, but I gotta listen to the latest Whitesnake album as well. From 2011.
It's the purple.
Not that one. Sorry, I meant the last studio new album, the one from 2011, Forevermore. I need to hear that. I thought it's really good. Yeah,
I was gonna say because the last Whitesnake was just Deep Purple.
I heard some. I'm like, oh. This cover of Burn.
Just listen to Burn. Just listen to Burn. Just listen to Stormbringer. You know, you're fine.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. All right. That's enough. All right. Until next week, catch you guys. Say sign off.
Adios.
Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.